Welcome to the Neighborhood Cafe with your host, Amy Lively. Since there isn't a real cafe in Amy's neighborhood, she invited her neighbors over for coffee in her own living room, the best place for starting new friendships and nurturing old ones. Invite a girlfriend to listen along with you today as Amy shares a whole new way to love your neighbors at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Welcome back to the Neighborhood Cafe. Thanks for listening today. So last week, I told you how I almost blew it when I first returned to the Lord. So I was so on fire that I just singed anyone who came around me, especially my poor husband. See, about that time, I came across some specific advice for wives that actually contains a general principle for every woman, well, for every believer, for that matter. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and Peter explains that husbands who do not believe the word will be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So I tried this on my husband. See, I thought that if he saw me praying and going to church, then he would want to pray and go to church too. And I read my Bible every day and followed all the rules. And then I tried to be so helpful to tell him if he wasn't doing it quite right. I made church my number one priority in my life, even if that meant I wasn't cooking dinner and I was gone 3 nights a week. See, the Amplified Bible, though, it throws in this little phrase that probably explains why this wasn't working very well for me in my home. The Amplified Bible says that husbands who don't believe the word will be won over without words when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband. So I was ignoring my poor husband and his needs and focusing only instead on myself and how righteous I was. But see, this specific advice that's so true in a marriage, it's also just a general principle for all relationships. You could rephrase it like this. Neighbors who don't believe the word will be won over without words when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your neighbors. See, the general principle here that applies to all of us is that when people see how we behave towards them, not how many times we go to church a week or how often we pray, but when they see how we treat them, then we really get their attention. But to do that, see, we've got to be in relationship with people. See, loving our neighbors is about relationships, not religion. See, putting up a Ten Commandment yard sign out might not lead someone to Christ, but you might want to try picking up the trash in their yard. And people who don't accept my invitation to a big church event just might come over to my house for a little cup of coffee. So that's what I decided to do. I was going to invite all my neighbors over for coffee. I was ready to just let Jesus out the front door and get out there and meet the neighbors. I was pumped. I mean, I had this great idea. I knew what it was going to look like. I had even created a little logo and invitation. I'd marked the date on my calendar. And so the next thing that I did was nothing. I did nothing. I closed that journal book full of ideas, and I did not start the Rosewood Cafe, which is what I was going to call it, because I was a little overwhelmed. I was a little tired, but the real truth is I was terrified. I mean, I had this head full of great ideas, but my heart was just so resistant. I was afraid. I would rather have gone to Africa than have gone across the street. And you know, we've globalized the definition of neighbor to include every person in the world. And that's true. Everyone is our neighbors, but we have just so conveniently excluded the woman who lives right on our own roads. See, I was afraid, and my fears very quickly became excuses. See, my fear of sacrifice became the excuse of, oh, I just don't have time to do that. So I didn't have time to invite my neighbors over. I didn't have time to be involved in all these new relationships, get my house ready, figure out what we would talk about. You know, I had so much to do already. I really didn't want to take on more than God could handle. And my fear of humiliation became the excuse of, well, I'm just not spiritual enough. See, I always get Zephaniah and Zechariah mixed up. And I just know someone would ask me, like, are there dinosaurs in the Bible? Or these really tough theological questions. And besides, you know, I still get in fights with my family and I get mad at stupid drivers. And I love personalized license plates because then I can yell at people by name. My fear of being different became the excuse of, well, my house just isn't ready. You know, I've been meaning to paint the living room like this one I saw on Pinterest. And, you know, what would people think really if I had them over to my house? And then my fear of rejection became the excuse of, well, just, you know, religion, it's a private matter. And we just don't talk about personal things like this. Everyone knows you don't talk about politics and religion. So these were my fears and my excuses. And guess what? I was right. I didn't have time. In fact, I don't know a single woman who does. I'm never going to have all the answers. My house could almost always use a good cleaning, and most people are uncomfortable talking about, you know, deeply personal and sometimes controversial matters. And the thought of knocking on my neighbor's doors just made my knees knock, and so I argued with God. I mean, why would you ask me to do a crazy thing like this, Lord? I mean, surely you of all people know it's not my calling to go calling on my neighbors. You know, I delayed and I disobeyed until God just brought such pressure down upon my life that I realized he was going to make me miserable until I went along with this crazy idea. See, I had placed myself in this very precarious position of actually needing his discipline. The Bible tells us God disciplines those he loves, and he loves you so much. But the only person he loves as much as he loves us is our neighbor. And so I just beg you, if God places something in your heart like he did in mine, yours might look completely different. But if he puts something in your heart, do not quench that. Do not use your logical excuses and rational defenses and just plain old stubborn resistance like I did. Because ladies, he just loves us all too much to let us get away with it. But here's the great thing. He loves us so much that he won't give us this big, impossible task without any tools. In Isaiah 58, 10 through 12, God says this. He says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes." See, God does extreme makeovers from the inside out, and it starts with us. So loving our neighbors comes with this exclusive guarantee from God himself. He guarantees that when we feel inadequate and unprepared, like as dried up as an old dish rag, that he guarantees he will strengthen and equip us to care for his people. See, God guarantees he will guide us continually when we reach out to the women he has placed around our homes. And God guarantees that we will get a reputation, not as the house with the biggest dandelions or the prettiest front porch, but we'll have a reputation as the home where hope was found and where hurting families found healing and where lives were rebuilt and restored. That's how I want to be known in my neighborhood. But after months of disobedience, I finally printed off some invitations, tied them to a little bag of coffee, and delivered them to my neighbors. And so I've invited them over for an open house, not a Bible study, just an open house, a time to just meet each other and greet each other, and I could give them a little treat in my home. I invited my friends, my mom, a couple women from church, and then I went door to door in my neighborhood. And you know, you really see a lot when you go to someone's front door. You'd be surprised how many people leave their Christmas lights up year round. One house even had a Christmas tree in September. And some homes were meticulous, not a leaf out of place. But then others had cobwebs over their front door because families entered through the attached garage and never used the front door. You know, I think we use our backyards more than our front yards. You know, in my experience of knocking on hundreds of doors, here's what you can expect when you meet your neighbors. You know, if you're anything like me, your heart will be pounding as you walk up to the first door and knock. And on the other side of the door, your neighbor's heart is probably pounding too. You know, because we don't even answer our telephones anymore unless we know who's calling. And so to have a stranger walk up to your front door is a little bit startling. And so she'll open the door and say, "Hello?" And it's a question she's asking. It's not a greeting. And what she means is, who are you? And what do you want? Why are you here? What are you trying to sell me? And so what I would say, hi, my name is Amy, and I live right over there. And I'd point to my house, and I'd say, I'd like to give this to you. I'd offer her my gift, the invitation and the coffee. I have found it's so much easier to knock on my neighbor's doors with one hand if I'm carrying a gift in the other. And I would say, this is an invitation to come for coffee next Friday. And I've lived here for so many years, yet I don't know these women who live practically next door. So I'm having an open house for everyone on our street to get to know our neighbors. And I'd just like to treat you to some coffee or tea and some food. Are you free on Friday morning? And you know, most women who are home, they invite me inside to visit. And maybe it's because I always manage to do this if it's 100 degrees outside or we have 14 inches of snow. The weather never cooperates with me. The next time I go, I'm going to take dog treats because I met a dozen dogs of all shapes and sizes. You know, I met a worker from a local church who was on her way to deliver meals. And I met the owner of a local bar who was sitting on her front porch sipping a beer. And I've met women in high heels and slippers and some still wearing their pajamas in the middle of the afternoon. One of my neighbors told me, I'm new around here and I don't hardly know anyone. And when I asked her how long she'd lived here, she said, 15 years. That's a long time to be lonely, isn't it? I knocked on my neighbor Bonnie's door. See, we had shared a fence line for 4 years, but we had never shared a conversation. Isn't that ridiculous? And later I told Bonnie I was surprised she had agreed to come over. And it just broke my heart when she said she was surprised I had asked. And I knocked on my neighbor Crystal's door, but she didn't answer. And so I hung an invitation on her doorknob, and she called me a few minutes after I left. She said, I guess I'm your neighbor. I don't know very many people here. I've been very sick. I need a double lung transplant, and I've lost a lot of friends because of my illness. And Crystal said, you don't know how much it means to me to know that someone thought of me and wants to be my friend. And we have become friends just because we simply took the time to meet each other. You know, the first house is always the hardest, but by the fourth or fifth house, I get my groove on. And by the time I get home, I wonder, what was all the fuss about? I promise when you get to know your neighbors in your own unique way, you'll ask yourself the same question. What was all the fuss about? It's really not as hard as you might think. You might not do what I did. You might not invite your whole neighborhood over for coffee, but there is something that you can do. There is something. And God has designed you in such a unique and special way with your personality and your passions in a way that can connect with your neighbors. So I challenge you to think about some things that you can do. Maybe you just deliver your neighbor's paper to her door, or maybe you take a new recipe over to another neighbor. Just ask someone's name. Begin to know the names of the people who live around you. Write those names down. For goodness sake, that was such a breakthrough for me when I started writing my neighbor's names and a couple notes about what we talked about when we met, because I guarantee you'll forget it. You think you won't ever, but you will. You'll forget it. So write them down. Put them on the refrigerator just to remind you to keep those people in your prayers and in your heart and incorporate them into your life. God has so intentionally set us into our neighborhoods for His purposes, to do the works He has prepared for us in advance. We just need to walk out there with Him guiding us, leading us, equipping us, and refreshing us as we go into our neighborhoods. We will have a reputation as someone who brings hope and healing, first on our block, as it spreads to our street, and eventually our entire community could be blessed as together we form a safe and secure community of people who know and care for each other. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you next week at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Thank you for listening today to The Neighborhood Cafe with Amy Lively. We hope you found this program to be an encouragement to open your hearts to the neighbors God has carefully placed around your home. Amy is an associate pastor at Life Church. Find them on the web at lifechurchohio.com or visit Life Church, 4 miles north of Lancaster on State Route 37. You can contact Amy and discover a whole new way to love your neighbors at www.theneighborhoodcafe.net.